Father, we worship you tonight. We thank you, Lord, that your word is yea and amen. We thank you, Lord, that you have covenanted by yourself to honor your word. You have sworn by your own life, by your own self, to honor your word. And we thank you, Lord, that we have your word. Your word is alive. We thank you that Jesus is the word and he lives in our hearts by the Holy Spirit. Spirit of God, I thank you that tonight your word pours forth from the throne of God. And I thank you that you teach us. I thank you that you write on the tablets of our hearts the word of God. I thank you that the word becomes life unto us. As I speak tonight, I believe that the word flows from my spirit to my understanding. And I thank you that I can articulate accurately that which you want us to hear. I thank you, Lord, that we are able to pray. I thank you, Lord, that prayer is a relationship. And I thank you, Lord, that you teach us tonight about this prayer relationship. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. Amen, amen, amen. All right, we are busy with the secrets of prayer. And at the moment, we're learning how to hear the voice of God. Now, even though we've been on the road many years, we can still hear this over and over. Now, I've been doing this for 30-odd years almost. And even my own teachings, I'm learning every time. As I prepare and as I wait on God, I remember things and I see stuff and I think, wow, you know, that is just so awesome. You know, the Word of God is like a multifaceted diamond. You know, and you just look at it a different way, you learn something new. But also after all these years, you know, after walking with God for so many years, you know, you see different things. You have greater insight in the Word. Because my relationship with the Lord has deepened, it has grown. And because of that, I see things in the Word which I did not necessarily see before. And so, yeah, praise God. We need to hear the voice of the Lord. We need to hear God. We need to recognize Him. We need to know Him. And my sheep hear my voice. That's what the Word of God says. Last time we closed off with looking at the life of Samuel and what we could learn from there. And we saw that we will not hear God if we have sin in our lives. We saw that we must cultivate our relationship with the Lord through prayer and study of the Word and not neglect our relationship with God. We saw that Eli became complacent, and because of complacency, we won't be able to hear the voice of the Lord. We need to learn to hear and recognize who is speaking to us by exercising our faith in the area of God's voice. You know, it can be the Holy Spirit, it can be the Father, it can be Jesus who's speaking to us. And then we saw that things are hidden temporarily only as a means to revelation. And we shared about revelation being progressive. And God will share something with us when we come to Christ. And then a little later on, He will give us deeper insight into that revelation. And so the revelation has always been there, but we start seeing things. It's progressive in our lives. Amen? We recognize God's voice by learning from those who already know His voice. Remember, Samuel learned from Eli. It said that he didn't know God yet. And so Eli was able to tell him, this is God speaking to you. Then we saw that we needed to set time aside to seek God's face. We saw as far as Samuel is concerned, he served faithfully in the temple. So he set that time aside. Whatever he was instructed to do in his worship and his service of the Lord in the temple, he did that. And when we have heard, we must act in faith. And that is what Samuel did. And we saw that the Lord told him that the ears will ring when he starts speaking. Amen. Then we started off with the ways that God speaks to us. It's wonderful to know that God does speak to us, but there are different ways that God speaks to us. And we need to understand those things. The most important way, and I trust that we will be able to finish off on that, is the inner witness, the still small voice. That's the most important way that we can be led by the Spirit. Numbers 12, verse 1 to 8, lists the different ways that God, or lists some of the ways that God speaks to us. So let's look at it again. We read it last time, but let's look at it again because faith comes by hearing. And Very good. And hearing, and hearing, and hearing, and hearing. Numbers 12, verse 1 to 8. Now Miriam and Aaron talked against Moses, their brother, because of his Cushite wife, or his Ethiopian wife, for he had married an Ethiopian woman. I mean, that just tells you where these people are at. And they said, has the Lord indeed spoken only by Moses? Has he not spoken also by us? And the Lord heard it. Now the man Moses was very meek, gentle, kind, and humble, or above all the men on the face of the earth. Suddenly the Lord said to Moses, Aaron and Miriam, come out, you three, to the tent of meeting. And the three came out. So there you see, God spoke, and they heard him. Those people heard him. They actually heard him. The Lord came down in a pillar of cloud and stood at the tent door and called Aaron and Miriam, and they came forward. And he said, hear now my words. If there is a prophet among you, I, the Lord, make myself known to him in a vision and speak to him in a dream. That's to a prophet. But not so with my servant Moses. He is trusted and faithful in all my house. With him I speak mouth to mouth, directly, clearly, and not in dark speeches. And he beholds the form of the Lord. In other words, he sees the Lord. Why then were you not afraid to speak against my servant Moses? In other words, why were you not careful to criticize and talk against him? Because he speaks to me face to face and I speak to him face to face. Don't you respect that? Don't you recognize that? And we need to cultivate that recognition and that respect in our lives as far as those who speak into our lives. We need to recognize that. We need to watch out that we don't become familiar. Oh, well, you know, Ron Kusmal, you know, geez, he's my buddy, you know. Man, I just hang around with him, man. He's just cool. We need to respect those men. He's my spiritual father, and so I don't just hang around and, okay, Lord, Ron, speak to me and prophesy to me. No, I don't do that. If God wants to speak to me through him, he will. I ask advice from him, and yet I respect the man. I don't say, well, you know, Ron, yes, and so, you know, here I am. Okay, I can hear better than him, and, you know, that kind of stuff. No, it doesn't work like that. We need to cultivate that respect and honor. And I see that in the body of Christ, that leaves much to be desired. Okay, one of the ways that it mentions in Numbers 12 that the Lord speaks to us is in dreams. It's one of the most direct ways that God speaks to us. I mean, we see a picture running before our eyes. And we touched on some of these scriptures. Acts chapter 2, verse 17. It says there that the Lord will pour out His Spirit in the last days, and the young people and the old people and so forth will see visions, they will dream dreams, and they will prophesy and so forth. Okay, so it says that we will dream dreams. Matthew 1, verse 20, we looked at that, and it speaks about the angel that came to Joseph saying that the baby that Mary was carrying is of the Holy Ghost. And the angel came and appeared to him in a dream. Matthew 2, verse 12, the angel came and appeared in a dream to the wise men. Matthew 2, verse 13, Joseph was warned about Herod. What did I say now? Matthew 2, verse 12. The wise men were warned about Herod. Remember that. And then verse 13, Joseph was also warned about Herod. And so he took the baby and his mother and they went to Egypt. Right? Verse 19 of chapter 2. Joseph had a vision that Herod from an angel. Or he had a vision of an angel. And the angel said, Herod is dead. And then verse 22. He had another dream of an angel and spoke about Herod's son to him. But you must understand that Joseph and Mary were still operating, or they still lived under the old covenant. They didn't have the Holy Ghost like we do living inside of them. So that is important. I'm very careful of people that keep having dreams and all sorts of stuff. And I'm not saying that God can't speak through dreams. But the thing is, we have the Holy Ghost within us and we need to hear what He has to say. I don't draw pictures on a wall to try and speak to my children or my family. You know, okay, here's a picture now. You get it? I can speak directly to them, face to face. My family already know. When we discuss something important, I say, look me in the eyes, focus on me, and hear what I'm saying. And once I've said it, I say, repeat it back to me. Do you understand what I'm saying? It's important. I don't draw pictures, you know, send little cartoons in emails and say, and now they go, you know, you got to discern, okay, what's John trying to say to us? Because even in that, you see, when it comes to dreams, dreams are not always clear. Even when we have dreams from the Lord, it's not always clear. We need to learn to understand the language of the Spirit. Okay, Numbers 12 also speaks about visions. And so we can categorize visions under trances, an open vision, or imagination. Many times people that have a trance, they're under the power of God. And they get raptured into the spiritual realm. God takes them. When you have an open vision, you are awake. And many times it can happen that we can all have the same open vision. And we can talk to one another. You see that? Gee, can you understand that? And then we can have a vision in our imagination. And a lot of times we have that. It's not common to see people in trances. It's not common to have an open vision together or something like that. But we, in a prayer meeting, many times we can pray and then we see something in our imagination. And then we share that as a vision. And we say, I have a vision. But that's your imagination. Let me tell you something. If you actually have a vision, we will know that you have a vision, because the spiritual realm is not the natural realm. Amen. And we touched on Acts chapter 10, verse 10, where Peter was on the roof and he was hungry. And basically he was fasting and praying. And then he went into a trance and he had the vision of the blanket or the sheet that came down with all the different kinds of animals, unclean animals. And then Acts chapter 11, verse 5. Peter speaks to the apostles about this dream and vision. And in Acts chapter 22, verse 17, Paul talks about having been in a trance and he speaks about God speaking to him and or Jesus coming to him and giving him his commission to go to the Gentiles. Then we touched on dark speech or figurative speech. And Numbers 12, verse 6 to 8, which we've just read, it speaks of dark speech. So you can call it figurative speech. You can call it a riddle or a conundrum. Okay, we all know what a conundrum is. Okay, so if I spell speech, C-E-P-E-S-H, that's a conundrum. So you've got to find out what the actual word is. Okay, so God speaks, but it comes through in the form of a conundrum. But if we read here in Numbers 12, verse 8, he's talking about the way he speaks to Moses. With him I speak mouth to mouth, directly, clearly, and not in dark speeches. You and I are in the New Testament. You and I have Christ living in us. You and I have the Holy Spirit living in us. We do not have to have dark speech. If you're having dark speech, then cultivate your relationship with the Lord. I mean, over the years, I've met many people come to me and then they give me this, no, the Lord's telling me this. And I'm, you know, you can't understand what it means. No, but God's telling me that and I don't see it. I mean, you have to actually go and pray and ask God on behalf of that person what God is actually saying. The veil has been taken away. We can look God in the eye, speak face to face, and He speaks to us. Psalm 78, verse 2. Let's just take a look at that. Psalm 78, verse 2, I will open my mouth in a parable, in instruction, by numerous examples. I will utter dark sayings of old that hide important truth. You hear that? But yet, Psalms, Old Testament. Matthew 13, verse 34-35. It says there that Jesus spoke secrets and parables. Matthew 13, let's look at that. Matthew 13:34 and 35. These things all taken together, Jesus said to the crowds in parables. Indeed, without a parable, he said nothing to them. This was in fulfillment of what was spoken by the prophet. I will open my mouth in parables. I will utter things that have been hidden since the foundation of the world. That's quite something. He will speak things that have been hidden. Now, as I was saying just now, in our relationship with the Lord, as we grow with him, things become clearer and clearer. Revelation is progressive because sometimes it's like a conundrum. We see something in the Word and, wow, this is fantastic, but we actually have tunnel vision. But as we grow in Christ, and there's also a reason why, because he doesn't give you the whole thing, because you won't be able to handle it. You won't be able to handle the power, the anointing that comes with the full revelation. He needs to see that we grow into it. So initially you look through a tunnel vision and you see, wow, that's fantastic. But as you grow, you start seeing the whole thing clearer. So in a sense, we still have dark speech. But we need to trust God to get out of that and to the point where we can hear him clearly, where we understand what he's saying, where he speaks to us face to face, mouth to mouth. Amen? That's dark speech, direct speech, God's voice in our spirit. Deuteronomy 4, verse 25 to 40. There's a whole instruction. God is speaking to Moses and he gives him a whole lot of instructions. It's God speaking directly to Moses. Psalm 95, verse 6 and 7. It says, it speaks about today, if you will hear his voice. That's a direct voice. Today, if you will hear his voice. Means you can hear his voice. But it's not a common occurrence. If God has to speak to you in an audible voice, I think you're kind of in trouble. Because it means you are not hearing. We look at Paul and the times that God had to speak to him not to go in a certain direction. Remember, the angel would come and wake him up and say, I don't want you to go there. God is telling you to go there. Because Paul was one-track minded. When he got an instruction from God, God said, go to the Gentiles. And the man went to the Gentiles. He went. And it's good in one way. But we even see with Paul, God had to come and physically speak to him. Otherwise, he would have made a mistake. Excuse me. God's audible voice, again, we see Numbers 12 from verse 4 to 8. It says that God came and spoke and he called. Remember, he called Moses, Miriam and Aaron. He called them. And the physical, the appearance of God came at the entrance to the temple. And I think that's where we ended off last time. So, we've gone through Numbers 12 from verse 1 to 8 a number of times. Let's look at Matthew 17, verse 5. Now we're talking about God's audible voice. We're talking about the different ways that God speaks to us. Matthew 17, 5. While he was still speaking, and remember this was Peter when he said that they must build some little huts there on the mountain and so on when Moses and Elijah came there. I mean, you know, didn't know what else to say. While he was still speaking, a shining cloud composed of light overshadowed them, and a voice from the cloud said, this is my son, my beloved, with whom I am and have always been delighted. Listen to him. So there was the voice. Matthew chapter 3, verse 17. Let's read from verse 16. And when Jesus was baptized, he went up at once out of the water, and behold, the heavens were opened, and John saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and alighting on Jesus. And behold, or lo, a voice out from heaven said, "This is my Son, my beloved, in whom I delight." And some people thought it thundered. You see? Scripture tells us some people thought it was thunder. It means they did not hear, they did not recognize the voice of God, because John saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and alighting on him, and a voice out from heaven said, "This is my Son, my beloved, in whom I delight." John chapter 12. Talking about the audible voice of God. 12:28, John 12:28. Let's read from verse 27. "Now my soul is troubled and distressed, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour of trial and agony. But it was for this very purpose that I have come to this hour, that I might undergo it." Verse 28. "Rather, I will say, Father, glorify, honor, and extol your own name." Then there came a voice out of heaven saying, "I have already glorified it, and I will glorify it again." Verse 29, here comes the thing. "The crowd of bystanders heard the sound and said that it had thundered. Others said, 'An angel has spoken to him.'" Then verse 30 says, "Jesus answered, 'This voice has not come for my sake, but for your sake.'" Some thought it thundered. We must be careful that we don't think what we're hearing is thunder or something else, that we recognize who it is that's speaking to us. And that comes with building that relationship with God, growing in our relationship with Him. Amen? So, what have we touched on now? Dreams, visions, which includes trance, open vision, imagination, dark speech or figurative speech, riddle or conundrum, direct speech, God's voice in our spirit. You hear God's voice in your spirit. And under direct speech, we've just discussed God's audible voice. You actually hear it. A group of people together can hear that voice. Okay. Then there are a number of other ways that God speaks to us. And let's go back to the faithful book of Numbers again. Numbers 22. Verse 27 and 28. Now we know the story of Balaam's donkey. Are you all familiar with that? Okay. Let's read from verse 26. "And the angel of the Lord went further and stood in a narrow place, where there was no room to turn either to the right hand or to the left." So the donkey had to go through this, and he couldn't go any other way. So this angel was standing there. "And when the donkey saw the angel of the Lord, she fell down under Balaam. And Balaam's anger was kindled, and he struck the donkey with his staff." I mean, there he's going. And I mean, I don't know where Balaam's looking. I mean, if there's this narrow place where you have to negotiate, I'm sure that you steer the donkey, you know. So the donkey sees the angel and falls down under the power. When the donkey saw the angel of the Lord, she thrust herself against the wall and crushed Balaam's foot against it, and he struck her again. That was verse 25. You see, so this was a progressive situation. She fell down under Balaam, and Balaam's anger was kindled, and he struck the donkey with his staff. And the Lord opened the mouth of the donkey, and she said to Balaam, "What have I done to you that you should strike me these three times?" That could have been an interesting experience. That is a way that God speaks. I mean, he really wanted to speak to this man. So he used the donkey. It reminds me of the whale. God sends the whale and swallows the man. What's his name? Jonah and the whale. Because the man doesn't want to hear. He's actually hearing God's voice. So he's running away from God's voice. He doesn't want to hear it. So remember the story. He's hiding at the bottom of the boat. He's somewhere down underneath, somewhere in the bowels of the boat. And so the storm comes, and so they realize, I mean, these heathen people on this boat, they realize, listen, there's something wrong here. This doesn't normally happen. And so they found the man, and they chucked him overboard, and there's the big fish. So you think he learned to listen those 3 days? Yeah, he did. But you know what? In our day and age, we have the Holy Spirit. But we must not grieve the Holy Spirit by resisting him. You see, because God's not necessarily going to send a whale or something like that, or he's not going to, you know, the dog's not going to talk to you. God wants you to listen. If you harden your heart, you can get to the point where your conscience gets seared. And then you don't sense that unction of the Spirit anymore. And that's not a good place to be. And that can cause oppression in your life. And none of us want to be in that place. Let's look at 1 Samuel 7, chapter 7. Let's read from verse 9. So Samuel took a sucking lamb and offered it as a whole burnt offering to the Lord. And Samuel cried to the Lord for Israel, and the Lord answered him. You see, he was doing his function as the prophet. The prophet always has a strong ministry of intercession on them. Always. Even in the New Testament. Strong intercessory ministry comes on the prophet. Strong travail comes on the prophet. That's just one of those things. You want to be a prophet? Expect to carry the burden of the Lord and have intercessory ministry. All believers are called to intercession. We are all called to pray. But if you're in a fivefold ministry, especially apostles and prophets, you will carry burdens. You will travail for the church. You will travail for God's people. That ministry of intercession. Anyway, so here's Samuel doing that, and the Lord answers him. Verse 10, as Samuel was offering up the burnt offering, the Philistines drew near to attack Israel, but the Lord thundered with a great voice that day against the Philistines, and threw them into confusion, and they were defeated before Israel. See, the Lord thundered with a great voice. Must have been quite something. Yeah, they're coming to attack Israel, and there's his voice. I mean, we get scared of a lion. But can you imagine a whole army? These were not small armies. We see these films, these movies, you know, like gladiator. And then there's just thousands of these guys, and it's bows and arrows and swords and spears and stuff. And those guys are fierce, man. You know, they're not little miniature guys. Just to be able to wear that armor and stuff, I mean, you got to be some substantial kind of a guy. So, you know, when these guys go into these battles, I mean, they just went. I mean, it's blood and guts and gore. I mean, they just go for it. So these guys are really revved up. So for them to be approaching Israel and then hear this voice, that voice must have been loud, because, I mean, they're on their horses or whatever, and it's the clanging of the swords and it's the galloping of the horses and the noise of the armor and all of that stuff. So there was this great voice that spoke to them. And I believe God can do that again if it's necessary. Exodus chapter 3, verse 4. You notice a lot of the examples I'm using come from the Old Testament. You don't see so many of these in the New Testament. Because the New Testament is about a better covenant. It's about a relationship. Exodus 3, verse 4. And this is with Moses with a burning bush, remember? Let's read from verse 2. The angel of the Lord appeared to him in a flame of fire out of the midst of a bush, and he looked, and behold, the bush burned with fire, yet it was not consumed. And Moses said, I will now turn aside and see this great sight. Why the bush is not burned? I'm sure we would do the same. Well, check that tree there in the park. It's burning, but it's not burning. And when the Lord saw that, he turned aside to see. See? The Lord was looking to see if he was interested. We need to be careful. We need to watch for the signposts of the Lord in our lives. We need to be sensitive in our spirit to sense when the Lord wants to speak to us, when the Lord wants to draw us into our prayer closet, when the Lord wants to draw us aside. We need to be sensitive to that, because he sees that. He saw that he turned aside. God wants us to be hungry after him. God wants us to desire him. And when the Lord saw that he turned aside to see, God called to him out of the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. And he said, here am I. So, I mean, that's quite something. So, yeah, you're going along and then you notice this fire and then you look closely. Oh, this tree is burning. It's not burning. And then you, hey, I'm going to look at this thing. And then there comes a voice out of the bush. Pretty interesting. Proverbs 20 verse 5. We're talking about other different ways that God speaks to us. Proverbs 20 verse 5. Counsel in the heart of man is like water in a deep well, but a man of understanding will draw it out. You hear that? Counsel in the heart of man is like water in a deep well, but a man of understanding will draw it out. You and I have the Holy Spirit within us. He lives in our spirit. So the wisdom of God is within us. The Bible tells us, the New Testament tells us, that Christ has been made what? Wisdom unto us. That wisdom is right there in your spirit. But we need to draw it out. And thank God we have the Holy Spirit to enable us to do that. And we'll look at some verses just now. Proverbs 18 verse 4. The words of a discreet and wise man's mouth are as deep waters, plenteous and difficult to fathom, and the fountain of skillful and godly wisdom is as a gushing stream, sparkling, fresh, pure, and life-giving. See, there's a fountain. It speaks of this fountain. And we need to trust God that we can release that fountain, that we can reach through understanding. As it says in Proverbs 20 verse 5. But a man of understanding will draw it out, that we will draw it out under the unction of the Holy Spirit. Let's look at John chapter 7. Let's go to the New Testament and keep in mind what I've just said about the well, about the understanding, the wisdom being in our spirit, in our heart. John chapter 7, verse 38. He who believes in me, who cleaves to and trusts in and relies on me, as the scripture has said, out from his innermost being, springs and rivers of living water shall flow continuously. Now, what is the water a type of? The Word. We are washed by the water of the Word. Okay? Let's read it again, verse 38. He who believes in me. So first of all, must be born again. Must believe in Jesus. Must be in love with Him. And it explains it in the Amplified. Who cleaves to and trusts in and relies on me. As the scripture has said, out from his innermost being, springs and rivers of living water shall flow continuously. Continuously. We can trust God for that. He says if we believe in him, then we can have that continuous flow of the word. We can have the continuous flow of God's wisdom. And we don't have to just have this flash in the pan, you know, like a shotgun, you know, some hit and some doesn't, you know, hit and miss kind of thing. Okay, I wonder if this is God or not. That flow can be coming from your spirit all the time. Verse 39 says, but he was speaking here of the Spirit, whom those who believed, trusted, and had faith in him were afterwards to receive. Have you received the Holy Spirit? Right. So then rivers of living water should gush forth from your innermost being. Living water should gush forth from your innermost being all the time. And what will it do? It will not only refresh you, it will refresh other people. Because the wisdom of God comes. Insight, discernment, understanding comes. Let's go to just cross-reference Isaiah 11 here. Who knows where I'm going with this? I'm just being led by the Spirit here. The sevenfold Holy Spirit. The sevenfold Holy Spirit lives within you. And I'm not going to get into teaching all of that. But let's read Isaiah 11 from verse 1. And there shall come forth a shoot out of the stock of Jesse. Or the Jesse is David's father, and a branch out of his roots shall grow and bear fruit. Now, who's that speaking of? Jesus. Amen. And the Spirit of the Lord, or the Spirit of Lordship, shall rest upon him. Upon who? Jesus. Spirit of Lordship. So, where's Jesus? He's in you, right? Where's the Holy Spirit? He's in you because he's on Jesus, right? So the Spirit of Lordship is inside you. The Spirit of wisdom and understanding is inside you. The Spirit of counsel and might is inside you. The Spirit of knowledge and of the reverential and obedient fear of the Lord is inside you. And it says here in verse 3, and shall make him of quick understanding. So I have prayed that. My wife prayed that for me many times as well. At one time she prayed it for a number of years, I believe. That's what she said. But I prayed it for myself. Verse 3. And shall make him, me, Jan van Rooyen, of quick understanding. And my delight shall be in the reverential and obedient fear of the Lord. And I shall not judge by the sight of my eyes, neither decide by the hearing of my ears. But with righteousness and justice shall I judge the poor and decide with fairness for the meek, the poor and downtrodden of the earth. And I shall smite the earth and the oppressor with the rod of my mouth, and with the breath of my lips I shall slay the wicked. Because Christ is in me. Now that sounds all very hectic and so on, but it's defeating the enemy. It's warfaring with the word of God, the sword of the Spirit from my mouth, because the Holy Spirit lives within me, the sevenfold Holy Spirit. And we said, Spirit of Lordship, Spirit of wisdom and understanding, Spirit of counsel and might, Spirit of knowledge and of the reverential and obedient fear of the Lord, Spirit of understanding. That's who lives within you. So do you and I have any excuse for not being able to do anything or understand anything? If we don't, it's because we are not listening to God. We are not digging into the well that's on the inside. He said rivers of living water will burst forth, isn't it? Isn't that what we just read in John 7? He who believes in Christ, out from his innermost being, springs and rivers of living water shall flow. The Spirit of God, the Word of God will flow. John chapter 4. And remember, it's the story of the woman at the well. Amen. And she comes and, you know, talks to him and so forth and talks about drawing the water out of the well. And then in verse 13, Jesus answers her and he says, all who drink of this water will be thirsty again. All right. Verse 13, that was verse 13. Verse 14, but whoever takes a drink of the water that I will give him shall never, no, never be thirsty anymore. But the water that I will give him shall become a spring of water welling up, flowing, bubbling continually within him unto eternal life. Isn't that similar to what we just read? That is so, it is so powerful. You know, we have the Spirit of God living within us, and all we have to do is just open our mouths and allow the Holy Spirit to speak through us. We can pray in the Holy Ghost, and we can dig into that well. That is what we do. Proverbs 14, verse 27. Proverbs 14, verse 27 says this. Reverent and worshipful fear of the Lord is a fountain of life, that one may avoid the snares of death. We can worship the Lord in spirit and in truth, right? Because He seeks such worshippers, isn't it? And when we do so, it becomes a fountain of life, and we avoid the snares of death. The snares that might be in front of us. The areas where we might fail. Areas where we might make wrong decisions. So there's a fountain of life. If you go back to Proverbs 14, verse 14. Listen to this. The backslider in his heart shall be filled with the fruit of his own ways. And a good man shall be satisfied from himself with the holy thoughts and actions which his heart prompts and in which he delights. You see, it's within your heart. You either fill yourself up or you eat of those fruits. Who is the tree of life? Jesus, isn't it? Where does he live? Where's that tree? It's inside you. You and I can eat that fruit. We're not supposed to eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Because that's in the flesh. That's in the soulish realm. If you live by the Spirit, you won't do things that are wrong. If you live by the law of love, what does the Bible tell us? That you've already fulfilled the requirements of the law, isn't it? So if you walk in the love of God, you won't need rules and regulations because love will dictate to you what to do and not to do. If we make love our objective, the love of God covers a multitude of sins. The love of God casts out all fear. Yeah, fear in your love, in your life. Then look in the areas where you have those fears and see whether you're walking in love in those areas. The love of God will deal with it. Amen. We're talking about the ways that God speaks to us, and I focus now on that fountain, those rivers of living water that's within us. And it's there. It's there for us to tap into. But we don't always make use of that. Because sometimes it takes a bit of time. It takes a bit of effort. It takes maybe get up a little bit early in the morning. Maybe stay up late at night. Or sometimes waking up in the middle of the night and sensing the prompting of the Spirit of God. And no, I'll rather stay in bed. It's happened many times to me. I mean, I wake up and then I lie there till daybreak and I didn't fall asleep again. And then I thought, well, I might as well have gotten up. And probably I would have prayed, and after an hour, God would have given me peace in my spirit. And the word says he gives his beloved sleep. And by 2-3 o'clock, I could have gotten back into bed and I would have had a nice sleep and woken up refreshed. Amen. So we need to dig into that well. And one of the ways we do it is by meditating on the word of God, thinking, taking a scripture, read the word of God and say, Lord, speak to me. And a scripture will jump out at you. Write it down, put it on a card, stick it in your pocket. And as you go about your day, then think about it, memorize it and think about it, meditate and let it sink into your spirit. And your spirit will resonate by the Holy Spirit and rivers will start coming forth. The other way that we do it is we pray in tongues. Amen. We stir up the gift that has been placed within us. Because Jesus, the Bible tells us, is the baptizer with the Holy Spirit, isn't it? Right, he baptized you with the Holy Spirit. He's put the gift of the Holy Spirit within you. So the Bible says, stir up the gift that is within you. Amen. The most important way that God speaks to us is the inner witness. This is the most important way for Christians to be led by the Spirit of God. So, let's get into that. We've seen now all the different ways that God can and does speak to us. But what we are going to endeavor to do, and this is what our Christian walk is about, is to hear the voice of God, to be led by our Spirit. To be led by the Holy Spirit who is within our spirit, that our spirit witnesses with the Holy Spirit. Romans 8 verse 14-16. And we've touched on these before. We've touched on these scriptures before. For all who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. For the Spirit which you have now received is not a spirit of slavery to put you once more in bondage to fear, but you have received the Spirit of adoption, the Spirit producing sonship, in the bliss of which we cry, Abba, that is Father. And verse 16, the Spirit himself thus testifies, or witnesses together with our own spirit, assuring us that we are children of God. Not only does it witness that, it witnesses other things. That if we're in a situation, is this from God or not? And then there's a witness. It's like a green light that comes on. Or if it's the wrong thing, then it's like a red light that comes on the inside. It's like peace and unpeace. Amen? And we need to learn to be obedient to that. We need to learn to flow with that. We need to learn to become sensitive to that. 1 John 2 verse 20. 1 John chapter 2 verse 20. But you hold a sacred appointment. You have been given an unction. You have been anointed by the Holy One and you all know the truth. See, there's an unction of the Spirit within you. You hold the unction. That's what John says. Verse 27. But as for you, the sacred appointment, the unction, the anointing which you have received from him, abides permanently in you. Does it say that you'll permanently feel it or something? No. The Word of God says that it is permanently in you. And that's what you got to renew your mind to. That's why in discerning God's will and discerning what God is saying to us, the mind has to be renewed. Because otherwise, when your feelings are all back to front, then you think, well, you know, I don't have the unction today. Or I don't have the anointing today. You do, because Jesus lives within you. The anointing which you received from Him abides permanently in you. Renew your mind to that. You're anointed. The anointing might not always manifest because of issues in your life. If you have sin in your life, then the anointing might not flow. But it's still there. So then you have no need that anyone should instruct you, but just as His anointing teaches you concerning everything and is true and is no falsehood, so you must abide, never to depart, rooted in Him, knitted to Him, just as His anointing has taught you to do. But the point is that anointing, that unction is within you. Matthew 4 verse 1. Matthew chapter 4 verse 1. And we know when Jesus went into the desert, remember? Matthew 4 verse 1 says, then Jesus was led and guided by the Holy Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted. Okay? He was led by the Spirit. He was unctioned. See, it doesn't say that the Holy Spirit spoke to him and said, go into the desert. He was led. There was a pulling on the inside of him. So that's Matthew 4 verse 1. And if you go to Luke 4 verse 1, it talks about the same thing, except this time Jesus is coming out of the desert. Then Jesus, full of and controlled by the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan and was led in by the Holy Spirit. Something happened in the desert. He was full of and controlled. Previously, he was just led. So he was now full of and controlled by the Holy Spirit, and he was led by the Holy Spirit. Galatians 5, verse 18. Okay, somebody took my Galatians away. Galatians 5:18. If you are guided and led by the Holy Spirit, you are not subject to the law. Because it's the love of God that you should be led by, the Spirit of God. He is full of the love of God, isn't it? When you minister in love, when you are sensitive to the love of God, then you will not do certain things. You don't have to be told not to do those things. There'll be an unction on the inside. No, that's not right. Because you are motivated by the love of God, the Spirit of God. The more you are motivated and the more you practice and the more you desire to walk in the love of God, the more you will be led by the Spirit of God. And the more you will become sensitive to not doing certain things and not saying certain things. The love of God will unction you. Amen? So it's not necessary for somebody to tell you something. You will just know on the inside, this is not the love of God. This is not God. This can't be God. And the more we do it, the more we become sensitive to Him and the more accurate we become. I mean, we want to walk accurate lives before God, isn't it? Matthew chapter 5 verse 8. I once prayed this verse for about 2 years. Every morning I said, God, I want to know what you are saying here. I want this to manifest in my life. Matthew 5, 8. Blessed, happy, enviably fortunate, and spiritually prosperous. That is, possessing the happiness produced by experience of God's favor and especially conditioned by the revelation of His grace, regardless of their outward conditions. You understand why I prayed this now? Because I wanted all that. Are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. You see, I said, okay, God, if I'm pure in heart, then I will see you. And I prayed this for 2 years. And I didn't have a vision of God. I didn't see him like Moses saw him at the entrance of the temple. I didn't see that. The more I prayed about this, the more I started to see God in people. I started to see the will of God in people. What God was going to do with them. What his plan for their lives was at the time and still is. Because my motivation is to love people. I want all of you here to fulfill God's plan for your life. So, I said, God, okay. For no other reason. I know my heart must be pure because I want all these other things here. Spiritually prosperous, happiness, God's favor, etc., revelation, etc. And I don't want to be affected by outward conditions. Or the pure in heart. The pure in heart meaning I'm seeing God. I'm seeing Christ. So, I see an unbeliever. What can I see if I listen to the Lord? What can I see in that person's life? I can see in their lives what Christ wants for them, who he wants to be in them. In fact, who he had already planned before the foundation of the earth to be in them and through them. And that is why you can walk up to an unbeliever and give them the word of the Lord, in fact, prophesy over them and manifest Christ to them. The pure in heart shall see God. Does that sinner, that unbeliever, do they have sin in their lives? Yes. Will you see that? Yes, you certainly will. But more important is that you see what Christ means and what he wants to be in them. That is how you know, this is so powerful if you want to counsel somebody. The pure in heart shall see God. You'll see straight away what is going on. You'll have God's counsel. You'll see what Christ wants to, what his desire is to be in and through that person. The inner witness, the most important way for Christians to be led by the Spirit. Your born-again spirit, led by the Holy Spirit, should have the place of dictatorship over your entire being. We should not be soul-ruled, we should be spirit-ruled. You see, before you are born again, you are soul-ruled. You're soulish. Your soul oppresses and subdues your spirit. When you come into Christ, that has to be reversed. But it's a process because the soul doesn't just give up. That's where the death has to take place. That's where Christ has to be formed in us. When you are born again, your born-again spirit, led by the Holy Spirit, should have the place of dictatorship over your being. Your spirit is recreated in Christ Jesus to rule over your soul and your body. That's how it was before the fall. And that's where we're striving to get to again. As you learn by experience to walk in the Spirit, remember that God's Word comes to us in two ways. We have the written Word, and we have the Holy Spirit speaking in our spirits. We begin with the assurance that God's written word is our sure word. Everybody, I have many people and say, yeah, but you know, the this or that and the other about the Bible. I said, you make a quality decision that this is the word of God. That what's written in here is the plumb line for your life. It's the standard. It sets the permanent rule for your life. This is the book that you're going to live by. This is the handbook of your life. Like a motor car, an airplane has a handbook. This is what you're going to do. This is it. You make that decision. The Holy Spirit will never lead you contrary to the written word of God. If you receive a prompting that is in opposition to the written word, you will know it is not from the Holy Spirit. Now please, we also talk about the spirit of the word. If it says here, okay, go and find some Philistines and go and make war with Israel, it doesn't mean that that's what you're supposed to do. Okay? Judas went and hanged himself or whatever he did. It doesn't mean, oh, you know, some people, you know, okay, eeny, meeny, miny, mo, doof. Oh, that scripture, okay. And Judas went and hanged himself. Okay, I don't like that this morning. Eeny, meeny, miny, mo. Go ye and do ye likewise. That's not how we are led by the Spirit. You've got to understand this. That's why you've got to study the Word. You've got to read the Word. You've got to listen to God. You've got to listen to tapes. You've got to renew your mind to the Word of God. So you not only get to know the Word, but the Spirit of the Word, which is the Spirit of Christ. Amen. Simply ask the Holy Spirit to teach you how to follow Him. I mean, we forget to do that there. Lord, please teach me how to follow You. Please teach me how to hear You. Give Him control of your life, and He will reveal to you step by step the will of God. He knows how to bring you to maturity, because the good work that He has started in you, He will what? Complete. Amen? All He requires of you is your attention and obedience. And we need to give Him the attention and obedience He requires. Romans 12 verse 1 and 2 explains to us that our minds must be renewed to the Word of God so that we can discern the permissible and acceptable and perfect will of God. So your spirit, where the Holy Spirit dwells, and your mind, there's a connection that takes place. If you don't know the Word of God, you will not really recognize if the Spirit is speaking to you. It'll be more God's grace than anything else. Colossians 3 verse 15 says this, and this is a powerful scripture, especially in the Amplified Bible. Colossians 3:15, and let the peace of Christ rule or act as an umpire continually. You see, that's what we need to do. We walk in the Spirit. We need to be aware of our spirit man. And okay, Lord, what are You saying? What is going on here? I'm driving down the road and you want to go a certain direction and you have an unction. Don't go that way. And you turn left and then you have peace. And then you hear, and then you, later on you hear there was a massive accident and you would have been right in the middle of it if you didn't listen to the Spirit of God. So let the peace from Christ rule and act continually as an umpire. What is an umpire? Sorry? It's a referee, an umpire. What does he do? South Africa, they used to play rugby. When they used to play rugby, some people are not going to like me for that. Anyway, there's a referee. And the game of rugby has certain rules. If the rules are broken, then the referee does what? He blows the whistle. He's the umpire. And he says, that's wrong. There's a penalty for that. So, let the peace of God, because He is the Prince of Peace, He lives within you. So if he is unsettled about something within you, you will sense it. And He's the umpire. The little whistle will blow inside. Something's not right here. Listen to what I'm saying to you. Let the peace from Christ or of Christ continually act as an umpire in your hearts. Deciding and settling with finality all questions that arise in your minds. You see, this is where the battlefield is. Up here in this cranial cavity between your two ears. You see, it's like you've got scales in there. Well, is it this way? Or shall we do it this way? Shall we do it this way? Shall we do it this way? You see, it's fine that you do that. Because when the scale goes to the left, figurative scale, oh, I have peace in my heart. But if I consider this option, oh, I don't have peace about that. Okay, let's just check that. Lord, I think I should do that. Oh, yes, I have peace about that. If I think about doing, oh no, that doesn't feel good. That's what you do. And you know what? As you practice that, it becomes more and more accurate. And you start discerning straight away. You can make a decision straight away. In that peaceful state to which, as members of Christ's one body, you were also called to live. And be thankful, appreciative, giving praise to God always. Let peace be your umpire. Check your heart for peace. If you sense agitation in your spirit about something, do not do anything until that changes. Wait to take action until you have peace in your spirit. Continue to inquire of the Lord until you know. Amen. And then we will continue next time, casting your care on the Lord. One of the biggest problems we have is that our minds are so consumed with things that we don't cast our cares on God and become quiet before the Lord so that we can actually sense what the umpire is saying. Take a tip from me. If you're spending time with God, have a notepad handy. I've got a black faint and margin book, little lines in it. It's called my Things to Do book. So guess what always happens? You go into your prayer closet and guess what happens? Oh, gee, I've got to phone that person. Right? Doesn't that happen to you? Maybe you people are perfect there. What happens to me? I pull out my Things to Do book and I say, phone the vet for sheer. Okay? Now it's written on a piece of paper. So what can my mind now do? Oh, yeah, you better phone the vet. Of course not. Whew. Okay, thank you. Father, I worship you, and I'm 10 minutes down the line. All of a sudden it says, remember, you've got to transfer that money today for that account that you have to pay. And guess what? If you don't do something about that, you're going to sit there and think about that money, and then your mind's going to start running. Well, you know, if I don't pay that, then, you know, they're going to send us lawyers' letters, and your mind just runs. I mean, you know. So anyway, so you take your Things to Do book and say, okay, transfer money today for that account. Okay, and then there's peace again in your spirit. So then you worship God. Half an hour later, zoom, thought comes. Have you made the appointment to have your car serviced? And if you don't write that down, it's going to be in your mind. And so whatever it is, write it down. And you'll be amazed how many of those things are actually unctioned by the Holy Spirit. Most of them will be. And so it's your Things to Do list. I normally try and do those things first. Get them out of the way because they came up in my prayer time. But the thing is, when your mind is at ease, you can focus on what God is doing and saying in your life. Anyway, but we'll continue from there. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you, Lord, that we are led of the Spirit. We thank you, Lord, that you are teaching us. Lord, as I said just now, we ask you to teach us how to follow you. Reveal to us, Lord, step by step, how to discern the will of God. Lord, you know how to bring us to maturity. And tonight, Lord, we commit again to give you our attention and our obedience. Lord, the good work that you've started in us, you will complete. But Lord, we submit to that. And so, Lord, we give you the opportunity. We will make the time for you to do that. Thank you, Lord, that we become more and more sensitive. Thank you, Lord, that your peace acts as umpire continually in our hearts and settles with finality or questions that arise in our minds. And we worship you in Jesus' name.